tried to keep it low.
It's a sad clap, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, the sad clap. Welcome to the Sad Clap Podcast, where three men in their 30s talk to you about... Yeah. Welcome to the Sad Clap Support Podcast. Oh, hey. This is the Let's Get Gaming Podcast. Oh, that's right. I tricked you. You thought this was an emotional support line for middle-aged men. Well, you're not entirely wrong, but you're also not right. This is the Let's Get Gaming Podcast, where we talk about video game news, reviews, and sometimes interviews. I'm your host, Patrick Dennehy. Joined with me this week, it's Pasquale Galluzzo.
I'm your other host.
Hello. Oh, my God. That's very aggressive. Just getting right in there, huh?
Listen, when I don't do it, I get yelled at. When I do it, I get yelled at.
Dial it back a bit. I'm gonna add you back in. I'm going to reintroduce you, okay? We're just going to dial it back a bit.
Okay.
Joined with me this week is Pasquale Galluzzo.
Hi, everybody. I'm your other host.
That's much better. Okay, we'll use that. Cut the other one. And hey, speaking of hosts, it's Chris Monpetit.
Hey, I'm your host.
There we go. Look. All right. Stefano, he's not here this week. We don't know where he is, genuinely.
He might be dead.
He could very well be dead. And if he is, this episode is going to age incredibly poorly.
but it's also a great memorial piece.
A great memorial piece, and will be hilarious to have played in court as a piece of evidence if he was, in fact, killed.
Ooh.
The best part is this isn't even a bit. We don't know where he is.
Yeah.
He's gone dark, dude. He's just out in space somewhere. But that's fine. Okay, it's okay. I'm used to people just leaving me, you know, without a message and disappearing. And you know, there's a lot of wounds we could open up, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about other things. I have, and I was hoping Stefano was here for this anecdote, but I'll make it work with you two.
Okay.
All right. You guys are aware of the Mandela effect, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Where you believe something in the past existed the way that it does in your memory, and then you find out, no, it was never like that, right?
Yeah. Right.
A good example is like the Bernstein bears.
Mm-hmm. Bernstein.
Bernstein. Okay. What if I were to tell you that the internet is trying to reverse engineer a Mandela effect?
Which one?
Have you heard about the classic Simpsons character, Graggle?
Who?
No.
Okay, so Graggle Simpson there's just as much evidence that Graggle Simpson exists as Homer Simpson. Okay, I'm talking, we got footage, right? Old toys, VHSs, video game appearances. He's playable in Hit and Run. Graggle Simpson has been in every episode of the original Simpsons series, the first like 13 seasons. But nobody remembers him because for some reason they went back and they digitally removed Graggle Simpson from all the episodes. They just tried to purge him. So there's a movement going on right now on the internet of people going through archived footage and digging up evidence of Graggle Simpson. And I have to tell you, it's the most wildest rabbit hole I've ever fallen down my entire life.
Is this like the whole Mr. Poopy Butthole thing from Morty?
Like, no.
Poopy Butthole's always been in the show.
But see, that's the thing. Like the Mr. Poopy Butthole being always in the show, that was just like, you know, a throwaway gag to fit the story. No, Graggle Simpson was there from the beginning. We have footage of this. Okay, this isn't like a bit. This is a real thing. The classic catchphrases in all of Simpsons, right? We got Homer. He's like, dough. Classic, mm-hmm. right? We got right. Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Cowabunga. Bart, and then we got shirt. And we got Graggle. It's Gragglin' time. And honestly, dude, whoa. If you do not know about Graggle Simpson, you're just trying to gaslight me right now because I have clear, vivid memories of this man.
I'm looking at pictures of him now. He kind of looks like a fish.
That's incredibly rude.
That's
I'll have you know that Graggle Simpson suffered from various topical diseases. The theory was that he was a self-insert for the creator, Matt Groening, And then I don't know what happened, but something happened along the way where Matt Groening wanted to digitally alter the original Simpsons episodes and remove himself from the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun one. So if you ever have 14 hours to kill, just go down the graggle hole, right? Relive those childhood memories that are there. This definitely happened. It's been a fun time, dude. Anyway, he's someone modded him into Simpsons Hit and Run, and it's just like the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. Dude, it's so, I don't know what it is. Stuff like this, the weird part of internet history where we just do weird shit like this, like this is what I'm down for, you know.
I'm looking at like some of these images and like it's some of them are so bad, like you can tell like someone edited them in, but like some of them are like pretty like decently done.
If you find someone on the planet that has never watched an episode of The Simpsons and you show them some of the like mid-tier graggly edits you could get them to buy it, no problem. Mm-hmm. But like, dude, even like the old, like the original, I mean, first of all, this, you know, this is a real character that existed. If you even like look at like the old original Simpsons from like season 1, 2, and 3, like they even like mimic the art style for some of the inserts. Like it's so good, dude.
Yeah.
Man, I see when the internet like bands together over stuff like this, this is what I'm in for. We could like gaslight the planet with the internet. I don't know why we're not doing it.
Okay, with the old style, like season 1 Simpsons, I could see it fitting.
Yeah, I think it works, dude.
Yeah.
Graggle would absolutely be a character if Simpsons was made today. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'd be like, okay, well, we got Family Guy to compete with. They got a dog. We got American Dad. They got an alien. What do we have?
We have a graggle.
All right, get the graggle.
It's basically Elf.
It's graggling time, boys. Yeah. Anyway, what have you guys been playing this week?
I've been a little busy, but I'm still chipping away at Horizon DLC.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Hold on. You're not playing Forbidden West?
No, I'm playing the DLC before I get to Forbidden West.
You haven't been playing Forbidden West this whole time?
Yeah.
No, he's playing the original Horizon, but he's playing the DLC.
You're playing the Frozen Wastes or whatever it's called? The Frozen Wilds?
Yeah.
Frozen Wilds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
I said that last week.
I honestly just didn't even imagine that that's what you were doing. I thought you were just, you know, making progress.
Oh, no.
In his backlog.
I like how you're laughing at me for assuming that you would be playing a relatively recent game.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying I'm playing this in anticipation of that.
Okay. Well, try to mine this for some content.
You do need like some backstory for what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, like I'm sure it doesn't hurt to have it.
It doesn't hurt. If I remember correctly, one of the things that Forbidden West does really well is that if you haven't played the original game, it just tells you everything that happened.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, straight up. It just lays it all out. I don't know. I think it does go over the Frozen Waste stuff as well.
Wilds.
Yeah. But it's Frozen Wilds. I will never name this thing correctly. Look, I think it goes over that stuff as well, but a lot of it is like through your glossary. Yeah, like you could go into your inventory and there's like character profiles and it just like has the entire profile of like Silas, just like top to bottom, all spoilers from the first game. Like if you wanted to read it, you could. So you don't have to play the first game or the DLC to get into Forbidden West. But I mean, you probably should.
Yeah. Like I started playing the DLC and then it's been so long since I played the main game and they're like kind of talking. And I think Silas at one point talks and I'm like, I vaguely remember what this guy, like what his story is.
How can you forget Lance Riddick?
Yeah.
Well,
he's a man with the impressive voice.
Yeah.
He's got a great voice as a man with a good voice. I recognize a great voice.
He was in Destiny, I think, right? What was?
Yeah, he was the Zavala.
Yeah.
Captain Zavala.
Zavala, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Step into every time like he Mars.
He always plays like a character with authority.
Yeah.
He's one of those people, you know, people look down on typecasting. But I mean, when it works, it works, you know? Have you seen his short video on YouTube, Toys Army?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, dude. Both of you, everyone, do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube. It's like a 7-minute video. It's Toys Army starring Lance Riddick. It's the best piece of cinematic media that has existed, that has been created by humankind. You need to watch it. Not now. Don't watch it now. We're doing a show, but you watch it later. You add it to your queue. Okay. You add it to your queue, and next week I will quiz you about it to make sure you watched it.
I'll watch it, but I'll forget by next week.
I don't give a shit what you do. I'm still quizzing you on Toys Army.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try and remember.
Okay, good. Yeah. Chris?
He's playing Albert Wesker in the Resident Evil TV series.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah. No, I like that. That's good. Man, Lance Riddick, fan of the show, I'm sure. He's a good guy.
He's Agent Clappers in Paradise PD, which I thought someone was actually doing like a parody of his voice, but like it's just you know it's him, but like he's. I think my favorite thing with him is what was that show that was done by the guy that did Lost? I'm blanking right now.
I'll be that dude and say I've never once watched Lost.
Me neither.
It came out of that time where like I just didn't watch TV. And I just never cared. Oh, Fringe. No, never watched Fringe either.
No. So, okay. If you're into like weird sci-fi stuff, like Fringe is like the perfect middle ground. It was everyone was like, oh, it's from J.J. Abrams and everyone else that worked on Lost. It's like the new Lost. It's not like Lost. It was like a really cool concept where they had like an overlap between two parallel worlds and stuff like that. Had a really cool plot, and then it got really weird by the last season because they had to end it really quick. But Lance Riddick is in, and he plays like an FBI agent, and he's like in command, and he's very cool character.
What do you guys ever go back and watch old TV series?
Yeah.
Or is that just something you guys like if you haven't seen it, like not a rewatch, but like, oh, people were in love with the series in 1998. I'm going to go give it a listen.
Yeah, you guys made me do that with the Ghostbusters.
Okay, no, first of all,
that's a completely
different. Ghostbusters is a cinematic masterpiece. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about television series. And there is a Ghostbusters animated series. It's pretty good. You should watch that one.
Nah. Yeah. No, I don't. Nothing comes to mind.
Mm.
I can tell you one right now to go watch. And if you have not watched it, your life has no meaning yet. And that's Twin Peaks.
Mm.
Dude, I have to watch it.
Yeah,
you have to watch
it. I know I have to watch it because I know it's one of those like key pieces of like meme history where like once you watch it, you understand like 1,000 other references
dude,
across like all of media.
It's fucking insane how many things that reference Twin Peaks. So my girlfriend's given me a whole bunch of like old animes, which is something that I've been watching, is like a bunch of old animes to watch. And one of the ones I was watching was Soul Eater.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a classic. Yeah.
In Soul Eater is a reference to Twin Peaks.
No, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, to be fair, every villain in Soul Eater is just a reference upon a reference. Like, you know, Jason. Who shows up in like the first episode.
So if you watch Twin Peaks, go back and watch Soul Eater and you're gonna be like, oh my God, I understand this reference.
I feel like I remember the first time I watched through The Office, I felt like Thanos collecting the Infinity Stones, where like every time a meme scene would come up, I just like get another one and be like, yes, I'm becoming powerful.
I never realized how many things referenced Twin Peaks until I watched Twin Peaks. And like, I mean, like everything from like Scooby-Doo to like it's just insane. There's even a new movie that came out not too long ago. It's got a really long title. I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's basically the plot is this lady's trying to pay her rent or something like that, and she's traveling through time or and
oh, everything everywhere all at once.
Yes, that's the one. That has a reference to Twin Peaks in one frame.
At this point, I think Twin Peaks is a reference to Twin Peaks.
Dude, everything is Twin Peaks.
Just a Twin Peak grab. Can I make a confession to you, gentlemen, since Stefano's not here?
What's up?
Never watched Friends.
Wow. Really?
Never cared about it. Never. And you know what? To my credit, I tried.
Yeah.
You know, I got to the point where like I finished the Office like 14 times. I'm like, okay, let's see what Friends is all about. And it's just like the most insufferable piece of media I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad, so boring, and the writing is horrible.
It hasn't aged well.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I have not watched The Office.
Wow.
See, that's surprising to me. I think you need to watch The Office.
I just don't care.
I think that's how I feel about Friends, you know? Like, I'm sure, like, if I was, like, a child and I watched it, I probably would be like, oh, this is, like, a great show.
See, I rewatched all of Friends, five or six years ago.
Mm.
And, yeah, like I plowed through and I was like, man, some of these like references did not age.
Yeah. Well. I have to imagine like the way I look at Friends is the same way like a normal person would look at The Office watching it in like 2022. Cause like I'll watch like clips from Friends and then I'll scroll down to the comments because I'm a sadomasochist. And like all the comments are like, this is the funniest season of the entire show. It's like, oh, the payoff for this joke was so good. And the joke was like, Joey, don't do that. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand any of this. Like, this is just, it's nonsensical and it's not funny. And, you know, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I've been playing Horizons Forbidden West.
Hey, there we go. Look at that.
Yeah. Brought it back.
Yeah. I'm maybe halfway through the game. I'm just trying to get through most of the story missions and then unlock the three items that you need for exploration. And then I'm just going to...
How many of the three items have you unlocked for exploration?
Two. I'm getting the third now.
You are probably halfway through then, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go, yeah. Out of curiosity, which one did you save for last?
The higher level one.
Okay, no, he's not spoiling. He already took his headphones off. He's gone. Like the second we bring up something in a game that he won't play until like 18 months from now, he pieces out of the podcast.
I didn't say don't talk about it. I just said I'm not going to listen.
So I just finished the middle one, the middle tier one,
right?
Where you get the device that allows you to explore depths.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be as vague as possible here.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah.
I think I know what that means, but go ahead.
That level was pretty cool to experience.
On the set pieces in those games, like when things are happening, it's really cool and it's really well done.
Yeah.
It's such a cool looking game. And it's one of those, and I think Horizon is one of those games where it's like, I don't know, man. Like I talked about this when the game came out, how like the coolest thing for Horizon for me was the mystery of the world.
Yeah.
And like, I think like with Forbidden West, since like, you know what's going on, you know all the secrets, you know why everything's like this, you know why there's big metal dinosaurs.
Yep.
The story that they're doing now isn't as like, it wasn't as gripping for me. Mm-hmm. But with all that being said, like when things were going down and plot was being developed, I'm like, oh, dude, I'm in, you know? And, and looking back to it now, like even leading right up to the end, you're just having a good time.
I'm enjoying like the new plot twist in this one, because I remember like playing the first Horizon and I was like, yes, I understand what Zero Dawn is. My mind is blown. Like, I know the identity of Aloy and how she came to be. Like, that is just, you know, mind exploded. This one, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe like the enemy is this person. And I'm like still to get to the end of the story yet. And I'm just like, I can't wait to figure out like how this all pieces together in this puzzle.
Okay. Yeah, it's the second game is very twisty.
I love that.
Which
I
think they needed to do now that like the big mystery is out of the way. They had to like do, okay, we're doing twists. That's what we're doing. We're developing twists. As soon as you think you know what's going on, nah, dude. I have no idea.
I thought it was really cool because like you get all these places that are like named after weird things like Chainsmoke and all these other things. And then all of a sudden it's like, by the way, this place was called Las Vegas.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Dude, I think Las Vegas was probably the best part of that game for me.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And the things that happen while you're there and the things that you could do in that area, it's really cool, dude. It's cool mechanics. Man, such a good game. I might have to replay it now that like I know the new game plus update is out and everything. I don't know, man. I might have to. But
it's a big play.
It's definitely a chunky game.
Replaying any RPG is always a big replay. Like that's like you're dedicating like a few hundred hours of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. New game plus, you could usually get away with like a little bit less time if you could carry all your levels and gears and everything over to like to the new game. Yeah, you get through it a little bit fast.
Once you do like a new game plus on like a game like that, like you generally aren't going through exploring every option, collecting as many things. You just like power through missions and you're done. You're not exploring every nook and cranny.
Yeah. All right. Well, we kind of didn't have a good chance to talk about this last week because we were going hard on the. Well, I was gonna get into that. I was segueing off, my dude.
No,
we were talking a lot about the Xbox conference last week, and we glossed over like the PlayStation Plus update. So that came out. That's a thing that we could do now. We're about a week and a half into that at this point. So I've been testing the waters on a couple games. Mm-hmm. One of the game that I'm playing through right now, it's one that Stefano played before, and it was just always in my head, like it was on my list to check it out. But it's The Artful Escape.
Okay.
And it's free with the second tier of PlayStation Plus and with the game collection. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle to call this a game.
Right.
It's a game in the sense that like you press buttons and things happen because of it.
Okay.
Right.
But it's really just an experience from start to finish.
It's a playable movie then.
Not really. I wouldn't even call it that. Okay. So the story of the game, I know if you're a fan of the show, Stefano's talked about this already, but he's not here. He's dead. And if this is being played in court as a joke. But you follow this young man whose uncle was a very famous folk musician. That's the word.
Right. Right.
He's a very famous music man. Mm-hmm. And the town that you grew up in is famous because of him.
Okay.
You grow up and you want to be your own music person. And everyone's expecting you to follow in his footsteps because he's recently passed away. His passing is actually affecting the town pretty hard because he was like the main reason people were coming to visit the town. So we have, you know, shops are closing down and the mayor's freaking out. And, you know, and the fact that you are picking up where he left off is like the last hope for that town. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you don't want to be a folk music man. You want to be like a crazy space opera, hardcore rock and roll shredder. But nobody wants you to be that.
Right.
So the night before your first premiere concert, like aliens just come to town. It's like, yo, we need you. So you go on this psychedelic, insane trip across the galaxy, playing tours on different planets that are beamed throughout the cosmos. And while you're doing it, you're learning to accept who you are as a person. And you don't have to like fall in the shadow of your uncle. You could be your own person and you could grow from there. Right. So I'm getting towards the end of it. It's like, really, if you're looking at what you're doing in the game, you're just like pressing right on the joystick and like shredding guitar. And like, as you shred guitar, like wild shit happens in the background. Like you're breathing life into planets and like aliens are like exploding from the ground. Right. Like your lights are like It's visually insane. It's really cool. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's just, it's one of those games where like you don't want to look anything up about it. You just play it, just enjoy it. It's a short game. It's only maybe like a couple hours long.
Okay.
But it's top down, like one of the most artistically driven games I've ever played in my life.
Okay. So would you say it's kind of similar to like Journey or those kind of games where they're, it's like not so much a game, but more of an experience?
I think there's literally nothing about this game is similar to Journey, except that it's playable on a PlayStation. But like, it's not even like, well, because like the main, I guess, boss battles of this game are you playing guitar, but it's not like a Guitar Hero thing where it's like a quick time event. Basically, it's like you like different lights light up and you press the button that corresponds to the light. Like that's it. It's very low pressure. If you just mess up, like you don't lose or anything, it just asks you to do it again. Mm. Like there's no, it's a very chill space opera.
That's cool.
But it's just the story that it tells and like the things that it lets you do. It's like, it's insane, dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And there's just something magical about like sliding down a hill of like old robotic parts while shredding on like a holographic guitar. And like, as you do, like robots are rising in the distance and like, it's so cool, man. The one I do have one complaint. So yeah. you press square to shred. All the levels have like a musical score in the background, and for some reason they didn't like sync up the shredding of the guitar with the music in the background. So like it's sometimes it's a little bit weird, but
that would bother me, I feel like.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like once you notice it, you're like, why did they do that? But it doesn't really take away from it.
Okay.
I feel like that would mess me up being a guitar player.
Yeah. 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 It's a weird choice. I don't know. But and then Ape Escape. I'm playing Ape Escape. Yo, if you want to break your brain, play the original Ape Escape. Because my God, back then, before they had like some form of consistency with controller inputs, Ape Escape is a nightmare to play.
I can imagine.
It's so you know, left joystick moves around. Right joystick, use your items.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, okay. How do you jump? Like L2. Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah, it's such a mindfuck. And like, it's weird too, because like, it's one of those games where like, you need to see what's going around with you, right? So like a freeform camera would do wonders with it.
Yeah.
So how do you adjust your camera? Just tap L1.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you would like rotate because it was like on a set like pivot, right?
Yeah, so it would just adjust to behind your character.
Oh, okay.
But it's like if you wanted to swing your net, you wouldn't press the button. You would like press the right stick in the direction you want to swing it. So if you want to swing it ahead of you, you would tilt it up.
Yeah.
So it's like independent of your movement. And it's, I don't know, man, it's a mess, but it's such a good game. Go play it. It's like it takes like 10 minutes to play through. It's a masterpiece, but my God, does it break my brain. Anyway, a boom stinger. All right. So this week, I mean, I'm going to be honest, it's a little bit of a slow week, which is weird for the summer period of gaming. Usually we got like E3 coming up. There's lots of speculations and rumors, but we don't have any of that. And I could be the weeb here and talk about the Xenoblade Chronicle 3 Nintendo Direct that we had a couple days ago. But seeing as I am probably the only fan of that series on the planet, I'm not going to bore anyone with it. All I'm going to say is the Ouroboros system looks hella cool, and I'll leave it at that. Anyway.
Then you're getting a whole bunch of waifus with big chesticles.
Yeah. No, that was okay. That's the unique selling proposition of that game at this point. They cracked the code. They saw like this works in Fire Emblem. We could do this here.
They know what makes money.
Yeah, they know what makes money. Yeah, yeah. Hey man, look, if it works, it works.
They have a marketing team.
Anyway, speaking of something that works, Diablo Immortal. Talked about this game a few times on this show. In the last 2 weeks. It's been downloaded over 8 million times, and it has earned roughly $24 million since it launched.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
That's a
$24 million. That's fucking ridiculous, dude.
It's disgusting.
It is Blizzard's second biggest mobile app right now. The only thing beating it out is Hearthstone, which, like, if this game ever passes Hearthstone, then, like, just fire the nukes. We don't deserve it, you know? Like, this is crazy, dude. The worst part about this is that the U.S. is the biggest market for this game. Mm-hmm. 26% of the downloads came from the U.S. I thought this would be a China thing, dude.
I think the biggest problem is we're seeing a lot of streamers that are playing right now, and they're spending the big bucks. Like, there was a news article that we read through that a streamer from New Zealand spent $24,000, like New Zealand dollars.
Yeah. And yeah, that's ridiculous,
dude. That is a lot. But
I think it equals to like 17 grand US.
Well, see, it's interesting you say that, because according to this article, 43% of all the revenue earned is from US players.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. South Korea came in second place with this, with 23% of spending from South Korea, followed by Japan at 8% and Germany by 6%. It's equally popular across Apple or Android users, so it doesn't really matter. But I mean, like, the amount of money they made, and you know, we're not stupid here. The amount of money they'll continue to make off of this game is just so ridiculous, considering. Let's be honest. I mean, this is exactly what it was designed to do, right?
Yeah.
It was designed to siphon money. Siphon
money, yeah.
It's just straight up, it's an endless funnel. So you know, we could talk about this game every week, talking about how bad of how parasitic and how, you know, just immoral this game is. But at the end of the day, they made $24 million in 2 weeks a single product.
I feel like a lot of people that are playing it, especially if they're younger, they don't really understand, like, how much money is being put into this. Like, because they're probably like, I'm going to spend $5 and get something. So they put their $5 in and nothing comes of it. So it's like,
that's what we said, though, because they're like, oh, why don't you spend 80 cents and you get 800% boost to your attack
and you for still
the next hour. It's just 80 cents, right? Yeah. But that incentivization, like, puts it in your brain like, yeah, it is only 80 cents. What else can I get for like 90 cents? What can I get? Dude, for
all they got to do is get you to spend money that one time, that first time, just breaking the seal. And then in your brain, it's like, yeah, well, I already spent a dollar. Let's do another dollar. And then you keep doing a couple dollar transactions and you're like, okay, I spent like $10. A new video game is like 60. So, you know, I might as well buy another $50 worth of $50 worth of credits, right? Keep my money going.
Pat and I know this by playing Pokemon Go. Like, Niantic is one of the worst offenders for increasing the cost on things and just straight out taking money out of your pocket.
I mean, like, I think that's the worst part about most things, right? It's like every single, I mean, like, I say it's mobile apps, that's not true. It's just all game development that has this sort of feature built into it. It's trying to find, like, what's the least amount we could give you and how much will you pay for it. You know, you start off, like, the game launches, like, boom, here's a big mega celebration bundle. $10, you get 40,000 gamer gems. You get 13 skins. You get 3 battle passes. And we're like, that's such a good deal. Just buy it. Pays for itself. And then, like, year two comes around. It's like $10. You get 50 gamer bucks. And you're like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, but people still buy it and people still support those behaviors. And then they're like, okay, this is what we could get away with. So next event, we'll just lower it again and see if that affects sales. And if it doesn't, then we'll lower it again until, like, okay, well, now we're bottoming out. Okay, let's give them back a couple gamer bucks, right? I don't know, man. It bothers me seeing stuff like this. Like, I know we talked a lot about Diablo Immortal. And hey, thank you to everyone who tuned in. Our episode, Diablo Immortal, or should I say Immoral, was one of our most popular episodes of all time. Wow. So thank you for that.
Nice.
Thank you.
But with that being said, I feel like the bad guys won.
I feel like it's just, we're getting into the point where, like, it doesn't matter where we go in life. It's just the bad guys are always going to win at this point.
But and the worst part is they're gonna win and they're gonna masquerade as the good guys too. Oh, like that's I don't know, man.
Well, that's like any show or whatever. The bad guys always like start winning, and then to a certain point, and the good guys like just click in. They're like, okay, we're taking over now.
Yeah,
it'll come back.
Well, it's just kind of like that whole meme where you see like America in every like action films, like all together and always knows how to do the right thing. And then meanwhile, you look at the way like political things, and it looks like Patrick Starr beating a nail and a board into his forehead.
That's a perfect. I mean,
and the worst part is like, even if they were to like listen to all the backlash and be like, oh, these are predatory practices, you shouldn't do it. And they decide to close down Diablo Immortal, they still made $24 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's like, you know, I know
that much at all.
8 million downloads, $24 million. I don't want to do the math there, but people have been spending money on this game. We'll say that.
Mm-hmm. More than people played on that Harry Potter game, that's for sure.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that was a bad game. Yeah. The only thing I want to see from this article, and they don't talk about it, is I wonder what the average age of the Diablo Immortal player is. Like, I'm wondering if it's people around our age, you know, late 20s, early 30s type range, or if it's the young boys.
I'm gonna guess teenagers.
Well, there's a reason why they're not gonna release ages, because they don't want to say that they're predatory against children by targeting their parents' credit card.
Yeah.
You think it's the young teenagers? I think Diablo is a little bit of a more mature gamer's game. No.
I think it's like 16 to 19 range, because like they're old enough to work and make their own money. So they're like, it's my own money. It's only 10.
Dude, I'd go down to like 24, 25 range. I wouldn't go down that low. I mean, there definitely are like kids, you know, we say kids, I mean like people in their 20s. Yeah. There are kids playing this game, right? But like, I didn't think it's that low. I don't know. Anyway, this game's gross. I hate it. If you're still playing it, you're the problem with the industry. Don't listen to our podcast anymore.
That's 8 million people. Yeah. Hold on.
That's it. Yeah. I'm willing to boycott that audience there.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's a risk we'll take.
let's move on to the next quick news. Boom, boom. Hey, friend of the show. John Garvin, remember this one, boys?
Yeah.
So this is like, this article here seems like the perfect culmination of everything we've ever made fun of. It's just beautiful how perfect this is. So, former Days Gone director teams with PlayStation veteran to form a new AAA studio and announces a Web 3.0 game. All right. A lot of words were just said there. What does that all mean? Well, let's just say that Garvin and another party, Michael Mambar, are working together to create a game called Ashfall. The studio describes Ashfall as the first true Web 3.0 AAA title for PC, console, and the Hedera network. That's right, boys. We're talking NFTs and blockchains.
Well, as we've noticed in the last month, all cryptocurrency NFTs are all hit an all-time low, so this is a great time for the guy that said that gamers don't spend money on games to release a game based
on... Well, I think we could be open about this idea. You know, new ideas are being presented in the world of gaming, right? So Ashfall is described as an open world game set in a land ravaged by... Oh, sorry, I gotta do my serious voice.
Yeah.
Ashfall is described as an open world game set in a land ravaged by global warming, mysterious energy fields, and warring enclaves. It apparently starts as a narrative driven single player game, but later evolves into a PvP and PvE game. Ashfall will also plug into the Hedera network, a blockchain system that allows players to build, sell, and trade, with exclusivity being a focus. Such a word suggests that Ashfall scavenging and discovery elements result in NFTs. So I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
One thing, first of all, they're just going to rip your audio and use that for like a commercial, because that was perfect.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Garvin, get in touch. I know you're a fan of the show, so you'd have that one for free.
Cut that.
So I mean, let's just, I'll just ask the question. How do you guys feel about NFTs in your video games?
Don't.
Why?
Just don't.
I'm curious. I mean, like the NFT market, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to crypto in the last week and a half. It's on fire.
Dude.
Like it's bad right now.
I might be able to afford a Bitcoin for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, hell.
Get it while you can.
I'll be honest with you. The idea of like playing an MMO and like an item that drops being a unique special item that only you have, like, you know, to me, sure, I like that. I like that concept. Yeah. I like the idea. I think that's cool. Right. Like but the fact that it's, I don't know, man, there's just something about bringing NFT into video games. It keeps coming up. Like, have you guys ever played Ni No Kuni?
No.
Ni No Kuni was a game with artists, originally created with artists from Studio Ghibli. An amazing animation house, and it told a really good story. And the first one, yeah. And then the second game, it got a little bit weird, but it was still overall a decent RPG experience. And then they released a mobile game that came out not too long ago, last month or something, and it's an NFT blockchain game. And it's just like, why are you doing this? We have like Axie Adventures or whatever that Axie game was that we talked about on the show a while back too. NFTs just keep popping up in video games, and like I don't think any of them have done well.
It doesn't have a place, because like I feel like a lot of people might not even get it.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like you'll have like the NFT bros that'll play those games and be like, oh man, this is how I'm gonna make my fortune. But then like the average person who just downloads your game from the App Store or wherever is going to be like, what the fuck is all of this stuff in my video game? And like, I think it's just a really hard sell to get the average person either invested or educated, because most people just don't care.
Yeah. It's like trying to add stocks into video games. Like nobody, the average gamer is not going to like be like, oh yeah, I'm totally into this. Like,
but that's the thing. Like if you were to have a video game about just buying and selling stocks, I could get into that. But if it's like actual real stocks, that's just investing.
Yeah. With a game.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of games that ask you to be like, what trend do you want to follow? Like, if you ever play like indie game dev, it's basically asking like, what trend do you want to jump on right now? That's the same thing as investing in a stock, as you know, you're being like, oh, I think this one's going to go up. And then, you know, that's what you do. But I mean, like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I just don't like this. I think it's just dumb, really. And of course it's coming from Garvin.
Of course. Yeah. Like, if you could pick like a random like generator of like devs who you think would do something stupid like that, like he'd be like that big one where on the Wheel of Fortune wheel where it's like bankrupt is on like 9 different spots.
Yeah,
should we make a bingo card for him, like what's he gonna do next kind of thing?
I'm calling it now. The games after Scarlet and Violet are going to be NFT driven blockchain Pokemon games. Introducing it into, I'm just putting that out to the universe.
This is your Pokemon. You want to catch them all? You have it.
No, there's only one Pokemon and it's your Pokemon.
You want to catch them all? Go fuck yourself.
I mean, dude, I think Pokemon is like the closest thing that they have to NFTs when you take in consideration IVs, EVs, you know, original trainers, catch location, date.
Wouldn't Digimon fit that better, because it's a digital creature, so it is already attached to a digital network?
Oh shit, you know what, that might be it. Yeah. All don't right,
do
well,
Bandai Namco, please.
Yeah, cut that. Anyway, if you're interested in Ashfall, it's coming out. It'll be playable at some point. It does sound like a game that you want to play sooner rather than later, because I don't think it's going to last too long, but I would love to be proven wrong. You know what, Garvin? I believe in you. I've been your number one supporter from the show on day one, buddy. You go make that NFT money, dude. Hmm. Anyway, speaking of horrible companies wanting your money, you don't even know which one I'm jumping to. That's the best part. Overwatch 2 will replace the original game at launch. Overwatch 2 will fully replace the original Overwatch at launch.
Yeah.
The Overwatch 2 director, Aaron Keller, confirmed that the upcoming Overwatch sequel will cause the original game to be unplayable. when it launches in October. That's an interesting choice to me. Chris, you're the only one that has any connection to Overwatch. How are you feeling about this?
I honestly have no interest in Overwatch 2. Like, I have my buddy Esteban, who, you know, we've mentioned on the show before. He's like, yeah, man, like, I'm so excited for Overwatch 2. You're going to get it. And I was just like, I don't really want to play this game anymore.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about this was, like, when the sequel was originally announced in, like, August of last year, Blizzard said that Overwatch and Overwatch 2 players will be able to play side by side.
Yeah.
When as long as you're playing the same game mode, right? Like, if you're playing the same game mode, that's no problem. But they said, like, yeah, you'll be able to play, no problem. And now they're like, we're, like, killing Overwatch. It's shutting down completely. And I don't think, like, this is just a weird decision to me.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine Overwatch has a pretty substantial player base.
It does. And the reason they're doing this is because they're going free to play, so you don't really have to buy Overwatch 2.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
If this was a paid game, there's no way this would be happening.
Correct.
They wouldn't be abandoning that money pool.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's a little scummy, though, just because, like, people are spending all this time in Overwatch where they might want to still continue playing it because maybe they won't play Overwatch 2 for some reason, and then they're just, like, cut off from it now?
Oh, they're just, like, going to force you to be like, Overwatch 1 no longer works. Thanks for playing. Download Overwatch 2 now.
Yeah, download that. But now if you want to get everything, like
everything carries over.
It does?
Yeah.
It's fine, I guess.
It's one of those weird things where it's like everything carries over. That's no problem, right? And the game's free to play, so it's really not that big of an issue. It's just a weird thing that we're seeing now, that when a sequel to a game comes out, it just immediately cannibalizes the existing game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's just something that I don't think I've ever seen happen before.
I think that's only for PvP games, though.
Well, I'm probably wrong here, and someone could, you know, happily prove me wrong, but I don't think I've ever heard of a sequel coming out to a game, and then they were like, yeah, we're just killing the original game. Like, at midnight, it's good. Like, imagine, like, when Destiny 2 came out, Bungie's like, yeah, no, we're killing, like, Destiny original, it's out, dude. We're burning the source code.
Well, that would make people free because you actually have to pay for Destiny.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, it's just an interesting way that they're doing this. And, like,
I guess it's a good way to force everybody into it.
I think that's what it is, right? They don't want to have the player base split between, like,
One
and two, especially since it just seems like two is basically one with just extra stuff, right? Like, I don't know.
With less, actually, technically.
Really?
So they're removing the 6v6 mode, and Overwatch 2 it is 5v5,
so
you have the incapability of double tanking now, which was, like, a major plus to the whole team based thing, because you needed two tanks. So now, like, and the other thing too is they aren't getting rid of the other stuff they introduced, which is, like, the roll queue and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which is really annoying, because, you know, a lot of times you just want to play, like, your Call of Duty shooter, man,
right,
which is your basic DPS, right? But they're just like, no, if you want to be Call of Duty shooter, man, you're gonna have to wait 25 minutes to play this game.
Right. Okay.
However. Yeah. Maybe you should play a healer. We'll insta-queue you.
So do you think that going from 6v6 to 5v5 is in an attempt to, like, solve those issues?
No, it's going to make the load times even worse, because if you like playing tank, you only have one spot on a team.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, that's caca poo poo.
They force you into different roles, I guess.
The other thing they promised too is, like, oh yeah, there's gonna be, like, interesting story campaigns where you can do, like, PvE, and then what they promised was they would do, like, these events in Overwatch 1 where certain quarters of the year you could do, like, a team based event where you just run through like a level, but they promise like, oh yeah, there's gonna be like a story mission in Overwatch 2, and they've come out to say like, no, it's gonna kind of be just as exactly like Overwatch 1 where you only do it during quarters and it's only certain times you get to run through these things.
So, well, honestly, they could have just put an update to the first game.
And that's what this is.
Yeah. A lot of people that have played like the alpha version of Overwatch 2 said this doesn't feel like Overwatch 2. This feels like Overwatch 1.5.
Yeah. Well, if you are interested in Overwatch 2 launching, I think October like 4th is the day, or October 4th or 6th, one of those two. We're using the term early access to indicate that this is just the start of many new things coming to the game, said Overwatch 2 developer directors Aaron Keller. We're launching with new heroes, maps, and features, but there are even more of these coming seasonally. Every 9 weeks, we recently released a roadmap detailing some of this content, with new heroes coming in season 1 and 2 and a new map in season 2. Additionally, large pieces of the game that have always been part of the vision for Overwatch 2 will be released to the game as part of the live service. And there's also going to be a PvE campaign next year, which is, I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. Other than that, hey, Overwatch 2 coming out in October, baby. Get hyped or not.
Buy your battle pass, I guess.
Yeah, please drink your verification can, sir. That's an old internet reference. Hey, speaking of old internet references, okay, it's time, boys, it's time that we talk about the Super Mario movie. So here's the thing. Chris Pratt says that Mario's voice has been updated, and he says it's unlike anything you've ever heard in the Mario world. Mm-hmm. Okay. What?
I mean a lot of things.
What is this movie going to be?
I think we're gonna see Chris Pratt just doing his Chris Pratt voice, and it's gonna be like, "Hey, I'm Mario. Oh my god!
Oh,
Luigi!" And then you're gonna have Charlie Day playing Luigi. So probably just give me any kind of Luigiism.
Hey, I'm a Luigi.
There you go. And he's gonna be like, "Oh my god, my brother Luigi."
My brother Mario.
Now I want you to imagine Mario, and Luigi, Mario just overacting when those words are being pushed through their lips. Like, it doesn't make, like, I don't, what is this movie going to be? Like, what is the plot of, like, this movie? Is it going to be?
It's definitely going to be Mario saving Princess Peach from Bowser. Like, that's the plot.
But okay. Okay.
Like, that's what
I'm wondering if we're going the Toy Story route.
Wait, like, it's going to be like a Smash Brothers type thing where there are toys that people are playing with?
Yeah.
And they have to fight the big hand.
So here's the thing. I want to take a poll. We got Charlie Day, right? Musical background.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Jack Black.
Yeah.
Musical background.
We're getting a musical number in this. 100%.
We're also getting Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, so
100% musical 100% number.
Musical number.
If I do not have a Bowser villain song being played, I'm going to lose my mind. I don't know what this movie's gonna be, dude. I just don't know.
They can go.
But like, what? I genuinely, like, it's okay, just,
you know what? Maybe not saving Princess Peach then from Bowser, because Donkey Kong being in there kind of throws it off.
But like, do you think it's gonna be like a cut and dry animated movie?
It might just be like its own new thing, like entirely.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know, like.
Illumination's making it, dude.
It's animate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's own new, like, story separate from any other thing we've seen in the Mario universe.
Oh, you mean like Mario and Bowser are going to be like roommates at a college or something?
Sure, who knows?
And then all of a sudden Peach comes over and takes all the good mushrooms. So like Mario has to go down to like Luigi's pad down in Brooklyn Bridge and be like, yo. She took the mushrooms. Luigi picks up the phone, calls up Donkey Kong.
I thought you were going to go the route of Mario and Bowser being roommates. Peach comes into the dorm and now they're fighting over her, and kind of like, whoa. It's kind of similar to the thing.
But nah, dude, if Mario and Bowser were roommates, they'd be chilling in a hot tub. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm still like, I just love like that reveal going through the cast list where you have like all their super actory ass photographs, just like with,
I wonder if we're going to get like a weird hybrid storyline between Wreck-It Ralph and like Toy Story, where like once you shut off the game, the characters like have their own little world inside the game where like everything exists. But then like when the game turns on, like it's back to acting into like the world.
I need to hear what Mario is going to sound like.
Oh my God.
I feel like if we could just get a trailer with Mario saying it's a me, I just want to hear how that is being enunciated, and I can figure out the movie from there.
It's gonna be like, hey, it's me, Mario.
But I can't. It doesn't make sense for Chris Pratt to do that.
We all know what Donkey Kong's gonna sound like. It's gonna be like.
To be fair, okay, but I mean, just in your brain, I want you to picture Seth Rogen doing the Donkey Kong laugh.
It's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It's one for one, dude.
It's perfect.
I just can't wait for him to be like, guys, I can't keep running.
Somebody give me a banana.
He slowly rolls a banana.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna happen. Also, Michael Key is Toad. I just looked at the cast list.
I made this comment before, but I really hope he's not like the Toad. I just hope he's all Toads.
Every single Toad.
Look, I want every background character to be Toad with his voice.
But it's got to be Mario. like his most like
oh my God,
Michael Key-ism, like from like the Key and Peele sketches.
Oh, just give us a trailer, please. I need to know what this movie is.
He's got to do his Coach Hines voice as
Toad. Oh God, we're dying. Okay, hey. Anyway, let's end the show on a depressing note.
Wow.
Hey, Activision Blizzard board finds no evidence that it ignored or downplayed harassment. In other words, we investigated ourselves and we found that we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
great job, myself. Good. Thank you, myself.
I don't understand. If there's anything that we've learned from the Amber Heard Johnny Depp ordeal, yep, it's that the court of, and no, seriously, like the court of public opinion is
the highest way,
so powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that I mean, like, you know, it's either one of two things, right? They did investigate and they didn't find anything. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah.
In which case, I think the court of public opinion is going to tear them a new orifice.
Yeah.
Or they investigated, they saw a lot of evidence that they ignored or downplayed harassment, and then they're like, "We didn't find anything."
No. Don't look.
In which case, the court of public opinion is going to tear them a new orifice. So I don't think it matters either way.
I just think it's so funny. Like, you have a company, it's like, yeah, we totally did everything in the power, instead of just being like, all right, we need someone to crucify now, so like, who's jumping on this grenade?
I'm surprised they didn't like sacrifice a dude, you know?
Yeah.
I would love for a company to like do a deep investigation. Like, can you just imagine a company doing a deep investigation on themselves and coming out and being like, yo, we had problems. Like, oh, I don't know how it got this bad, but like, we did a full investigation.
How did we not notice this?
Sexual harassment? When did that start? You know, like,
literally in the office next to me. Like,
I would hold way more respect for them if they were to come on and be like, yeah, dude, we did not see any of this. But instead they're like, no, yeah, nothing there.
Surprising. No.
So we had our high-ranking board members investigate our other high-ranking board members based on things that people said they did. They never did it, dude. Nah. Anyway, I don't know, man. It's the Activision Blizzard mess. It's still going on. There's still a lot that needs to be done.
That's gonna be like another year at least.
Oh, it's more than that. It's gonna be a nonstop. It's gonna be nonstop, right? It's just gonna be one of those things that there will always be issues, and this does not help solve those issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, this is just going to get people back on them being like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. It's like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
Like, didn't they just pay out $18 million for this exact thing?
I think they settled or something. Yeah. I don't know the exact legal terminology that's being used or if settling is even the right word, but yeah, it's interesting how someone got paid and then they're like, we didn't do anything wrong. So. Don't worry about that $18 million we just paid out. We made that money back in 2 weeks with Diablo Immortal.
That's right.
My God.
So what does it matter, right? Yeah. You know, like, that's the thing. None of this, that's the thing I think that a lot of people are ignoring. None of this matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, literally none of the, we're talking about stupid amounts of money that's being made by this company where, like, your human rights do not matter. And, yeah. And even if they did matter, they could be solved with a payout that is so minuscule in comparison to what they have access to that it does not matter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, if you like this episode of the, I don't know, man, it's just that, you know, not to be, you know, a downer or anything like that, but it's, you know, how do you kill that which have no, you can't beat it, you know?
Yeah. It is what it is at this point. Like, you can't let the court do their thing.
It's an unstoppable juggernaut. And the problem is that not enough people are going to say, I'm not playing your stuff anymore to make a real difference, because they have some of the most addicting games on the gaming platforms.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, it's, if you want to hurt them, you hurt them where it actually hurts, and that's the wallet. And just, we as gamers are not strong-willed enough to do it.
Yeah.
You know, not enough of us anyway. I'm sure there are people that are boycotting Activision Blizzard. There are people that are refusing to interact with their products, like, to give them 1%. Money. That's great, but, like, they literally do not care about you. Like, the amount of money that the protesters are stopping them from earning is a rounding error.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's you get one person that's like, yeah, I'm not doing this, and then you get another person that's like, yeah, I'm doubling down.
Yeah. For every one person that's boycotting it, there's one Twitch streamer that just got donated $400 to do a couple runs in Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, okay, well, that's, I guess, ridiculous. That's it. I don't know, man. Anyway, that's it for quick news this week. I think we had a nice plunge into existential dread there in corporate greed. You know, I think it's a good rounded episode. You guys have anything you wanna throw into the show before we wrap up?
No, I'm good.
Chris? give us a nice show ending anecdote. No pressure. Yeah, give us a good show ending anecdote.
You know, sometimes you think we're going to get the best out of something, and then they announce we're getting a Duke Nukem movie. So,
no, that's going to be good, though.
They did talk about John Cena supposed to star in a Duke Nukem movie, but that one was killed. So I don't know who's going to star in this Duke Nukem movie. But, like,
whoa, hold on. You're telling me a Duke Nukem project ran into issues during development?
Yeah. Unheard of, right?
When has that ever happened in the history of humanity?
Yeah.
Never.
That's a wild tale.
I just don't know how you do a Duke Nukem movie without it being, like, completely aware of itself.
It's
being, like, all tropes.
It has to be a hardcore Henry inspired movie. That's the only way I see it working. You mount a body cam on Duke Nukem himself, and you just have him running through the streets of Brooklyn.
just blasting
right past Mario and Bowser's little apartment. That's it, dude. Anyway, that's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, if you like this episode of the Let's Get Gaming podcast, you can leave us a review on Apple iTunes and other platforms, probably. You can also catch this podcast anywhere video game podcasts can be listened to. That includes Spotify, Google Music, Amazon, Anchor FM, and not Stitcher. I don't know why not Stitcher. We should apply for Stitcher.
I thought we did.
Anyway, yeah, I thought we did too. Hey, Stitcher. We got to have a talk. That's for later. Hey, I've been your host, Patrick Dennehy. Join with me this week, Pasquale Galuzzo.
I've been your other host, Pasquale. Have a good week. Was that not enough, or was that too much?
I don't even know what that was, man.
Exactly. To keep it in the middle.
And Chris.
Yeah.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Oh, Stefano was here all along. Keep your stick on the ice, boys. That's right. Simpsons reference. Oh, Mr. Black. Oh, okay. Mr. Black. I'm sorry. Wow, we didn't shit on Stefano right until the very end. I'm proud of us.
Graggle Simpson. Yeah.
I'm going to go make some banana bread. Oh, make some Halo 3. All right, see ya.
Game time.
Everybody.
Bye.
Bye.